So for today's introduction, we have an audio clip for everyone. This audio was sent to us from Derek and Katie in Northern Idaho, and it was recorded in September 2020. The first audio clip that we'll play is the original recording. The second clip is with enhanced volume. The third clip is the same, but a bit slower. Keep in mind that we can clearly hear horses neighing and dogs barking, but the deep yelling throughout the audio isn't from any known animal that they or we are aware of. Welcome to this episode where we dig into whatever could be making this sound, Bigfoot, and welcome back to Infinite Rabbit Hole. So real quick, the first audio is pretty quiet. So listen to that, and then I'll say second audio. After that, I'll give you a few seconds to turn your volume down, because we enhanced it pretty high so that you guys can really get a grasp of what we're listening to. And then the third audio clip is going to be just as loud, so adjust your volume accordingly. Thanks.
Those horses are starting to get freaked out. I can hear them neighing.
Second audio. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Those horses are starting to get freaked out. I can hear them neighing.
Third audio.
These horses are starting to get freaked out.
I'll just restart. Fuck it. We're just going to restart. I'm going to go ahead and remove that again. Welcome back to the Infinite Rabbit Hole for the third time today. My name is Jeremy. I'm your host. I am joined today by Jacob and Kid. Kid Kenzar of the Kenzar Kids stuff and our guest today, which everyone here is excited to hear from. So we're going to skip introductions. Derek and Katie. Derek, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good. We're still lagging a little bit, but this is much better than it was over on our other platform. For those listening in tonight, please be considerate. We are experiencing some technical difficulties.
They're going to hate on us. It doesn't matter.
It is what it is. It is what it is. I don't give a fuck. Fuck them. We're going to have a good time tonight. We're going to talk about some cool shit. Some stuff that's been happening over on Derek's property over there in Idaho and some of his other stories as well. Derek reached out to us a little while ago via email and sent us a really awesome clip, which I'm going to attempt to put on the front of this episode. So hopefully you guys were able to hear that. That is the clip that Derek sent into us. If not, then you're just not going to hear it. And nobody's going to get this entire episode. That's okay. Derek, so first things first. In your email to us, you said that you've had a couple different paranormal experiences in your life. But I really would love to start off with this audio. Can you give us the backstory of this audio first? I just want to hear what brought you outside to start recording this, man. How long did it go for?
So it was like end of September, beginning of October in 2020, and maybe 2019. I'm not sure the year, but we're sitting up by the fire pit. September 8th of 2020, according to Katie.
Nice.
My wife.
So
we
were sitting up by the fire pit. We were sitting out by our fire pit, and then it started getting dark, so it was time to come inside to get ready for the kid to go to bed and everything. And I heard like the dogs on all the properties just going crazy, and I'm like, what's going on? So I opened up the door and I was listening for a little bit, and then all of a sudden I heard a scream and like guttural yell that I've never heard up here before. And so I pulled out my phone, and then you can hear the horses, and I've never heard the horses going crazy. We've heard coyotes and other animals around here, but it's never made the horses go crazy like that. But upon listening to it and everything, like, you can hear my kid, he says, "Dad, I'm scared." And it's just, I don't know. And we've done a lot of research to like of the local animals, like the cougars, bobcats, and like what their screams and calls sound like, but nothing honestly sounds like what I've heard up here.
Yeah, that's some crazy shit, man. So your best guess, do you mind putting it out there? What do you think this is?
I honestly think it might be a Bigfoot. A big feat.
Dude, so when you said guttural yell, I sitting here, I got the goosebumps, because I was telling Jeremy right before this, I played it on my my sound system in here and just, you know, cranked it all the way up. And I told him, I was like, that is exactly what I heard out when I was camping in Northern California. We're out there and we heard the tree knocking, everything like that. And it's like, I have this huge game of like, oh, if I ran into a Bigfoot, I would run out there and, you know, and you know, get a fistful of hair or something like that, whatever, right? Whatever I'd say in a circumstance. But dude, I didn't breathe for like 10 minutes, I'm sure of it, because it was the tree knocking all around. All the adults the next morning, they're all like, oh my gosh, did you hear that? Like, everyone heard it. And then the campsites were spaced out by like, you know, maybe a quarter to a half mile or whatever. It was basically, if you could get into the area, you could camp there. So they had, you know, a 70 degree incline you'd drive your truck up into, right, to get into these spots. Mm-hmm. But we could hear the people partying down the creek, because it's all echoey and stuff, and you could hear them out there screaming, hooting, hollering, you know, they're drinking it up. And then all this activity started and they just shut up over there. And it was the loudest, deepest yell I've ever heard. And it was just, out into the woods, and it's echoing and stuff, and all these knocking all around us and everything. And these guys over here shut up and turn off their music and stuff, and they're all freaked out. And I heard your video, and I was just like, that is exactly what I heard. Like, it was crazy. And then I found this massive footprint right behind my tent that we put up on our Facebook group. Like, right behind it. Nuts.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's nuts. And like, I've believed in Bigfoot and everything, but it's like, oh, it could just be old wives' tale. But like, after hearing that, I'm like, I have no idea what the hell that was.
It was Bigfoot. Don't worry.
So give me a little bit of the history, man. Has this ever been a thing on this property? Have you heard it since?
No, that was the first time we've heard it, and we haven't heard it since. And we've talked to our neighbors, and we've had my wife showed it to a couple friends, and they're just like, we have no idea what the hell that could have been.
Because of that night that it happened, like, normally when people hear things around here, they will post on Facebook, hey, did you hear that? Or, you know, there's booms around. Nobody posted anything on what they heard that night. Nobody did.
Because nobody wanted to come out and be like, did you guys hear that Bigfoot?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking. I was like, would your neighbors say?
Like, it was just one of those weird things. Like, nobody heard it. So it's like, are we supposed to hear? Like, was that like, I don't know. Like, it was terrifying, but it was, you could hear it because it's echoing.
Come over here.
Wherever it's at. Well, I got to start pasta. And it's just like, it was just one of those things where it's just like, it's baffling. Like, and it's funny because we watched a lot of like Northwoods Law and all that. And they had a rabid bobcat come on. Well, they didn't know it was rabid, and they let it go, and it let out the scream. I'm like, I wonder if that could have been like a rabid bobcat. But then you go back and replay both of them, like, no, that was not. That was, unless somebody was being stupid and had a microphone and done, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, done something like that, had a microphone. I'm like, but then again,
even then, the like,
horse.
That seems weird.
I don't know. But the it horses, was just one time. But everything was freaked out. Like, it was just, it was weird.
Yeah, I've never heard the horses behind us start going to town like they were on that video.
That's because there's an alpha predator in the way. And it's weird because it's like going out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I've been in a lot of the forest up here in the Northwest, like growing up and stuff. And it's like, up here, I don't feel uncomfortable. Like, that night was just weird. But going into a lot of the forest in Washington, I fucking do not go into the forest in Washington. Mm. I hate them. Uncomfortable. As soon as you walk into a deep, dark part of the forest, you think you're going to get eaten alive by something, somewhat, I don't know. It's just weird. Because I've been camping in those areas since I was a little kid, and it's like I've never felt comfortable going into any forest in Washington because it feels like there's some presence out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you take like a lot
something
of
something is out there watching you.
You take a lot weird. Of the Native American lore and history and stories that come out of the area. I know Idaho is very famous for being a Blackfoot territory. I'm not too familiar with the exact area that you guys are from. But I know that they have a lot of stories of creatures, of men of the woods, of screaming spirits coming from the woods, which, you know, can be correlated and easily explained of by bobcats. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a rabid bobcat. I've heard a bobcat scream in the woods. I've heard a bobcat cat scream, shoot 20 feet away from me before. They're loud. It sucks. I mean, foxes will also make a pretty gnarly sound, too.
What does the fox say?
It doesn't. but if you listen to the video, one thing that I found that was absolutely just amazing was the different layers of sounds and the different bodies of voices that are out there. And I say voices just because I'm trying to differentiate between the different sounds. You have a really high pitched scream, which could be, you know, it could be a bobcat. Then you had that very low guttural yell. That is something that's not necessarily made by a known creature of the woods. You know, that's something that's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And then you have, as you say in the video, you hear the horses neighing. There's a lot of really interesting stuff coming from this. So do you know anything about the area? Is there history in your area of Bigfoot sightings? Is this have you guys looked into this at all?
Once I started listening to you and you were telling, you said something about the BFRO, research thing on the internet. I went to that website and I typed in went to our county and everything. And I found a couple that are, kind of like to the east of us, but nothing really in our area that I could find.
You should submit that video to them.
You should.
That's what I'm honestly thinking about it.
Do it. They would probably go nuts over it.
It's definitely some interesting stuff. I know a couple people that are probably going to be listening to this episode that may want to get in touch with you. Of course, you know, I'll contact you on a case by case basis and, you know, let you decide about that. But we could, you know, if you want to excel this, we could definitely do that. I have some connections in the world, and those people that I have connections with have better connections than I do. So if you do want to get some focus on that, we definitely can. So Katie, is Katie there? Yes. With you? Okay.
Sorry, I'm cooking dinner.
No, you're good. Back when we were recording on the other platform, you were kind of talking a little bit about your history and your beliefs in Bigfoot. Do you mind kind of reiterating that a little bit and telling us a little bit about your history and your focus on the subject, just so that we can make sure we get that recorded?
No, that's fine. Like I said, my mom she grew up with sci-fi and all sort of stuff, and we've always talked about, you know, UFOs. Like, we're not the only people here. Like, we literally always talked about stuff growing up, and coming up was like one of those weird things. But then again, it's like every time I would go on a road trip from Wyoming to Oregon or Washington, I would look in the woods like, I'm gonna see something that, yeah, I'm not gonna know what it is, just because of how my mom, like my dad, like we're Christian believers and all that, but it's like my mom instilled in me that we're not alone. I mean, stuff out there that we cannot explain. Like, there is absolutely stuff we cannot explain. Like I was telling you about the woods in Washington and stuff. It's like, I would visit my house all the time, and she had a property, and it would back up a line, you know, some woods. I don't know exactly what forest it was, but literally it was black. Like, as soon as you cross that tree line, I did not feel safe. Even as a child, I did not feel safe. I would not feel safe going in there as an adult. Like, you just, it's a weird feeling you get, I guess. And it's like when we went camping, because we used to have yearly events in Washington at, which was it called?
Skookum Away
Vista. And we had yurts and stuff, and they had, you know, all the forests and stuff around us. It was a place where, like, yurts, and or they had yurts and all that you could rent out and all that. But as soon as I walked into the forest, I loved doing photography, so I'd go out and take pictures, and I'd walk out there, and I'd walk a certain amount, and I'm like, I'm done. Like, you just get that eerie, uncomfortable feeling where it's just, you don't feel comfortable being out there because you know something's out there.
So,
if that makes sense, it scared the living shit out of
me. I just want to talk a little bit about the Skookum title, because Skookum is a very hot topic word inside of the Bigfoot community. Now, there is a very, very popular, famous cast called the Skookum cast, which is it's a cast of an entire body of Bigfoot laying on its side. And, you know, some people will try to say that, no, this is a deer, and they could point out the thin forearm of the deer on the cast itself. And some people look at it and they're like, yeah, no, I can definitely see the ass cheek of a Bigfoot and see it reaching. And Skookum is actually, the word is, it originates from Canada, actually, kid, just to throw that out there for you. I don't know what tribe. I'm assuming it comes from a tribe, but it actually means strong, big, and excellent. And a lot of places that are recorded as, you know, in the title of the place as Skookum, goes along with a lot of the places that are also have devil in the word. Or in the term, like Devil's Lakes, Devil's Ridges, Devil's Mountain, and everything like that. They all have a reference to a wild man in the woods. Go ahead, kids. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just wanted to quickly throw out there, Skookum is actually a Chinook word.
Chinook. And that is Canadian, right?
Yes. Chinook is Canadian.
Yeah. I know the hockey team.
I'm not too sure where exactly the Chinook is, but
it's a whale, isn't it? Isn't it fish. Chinook a whale?
It's a fish.
Yeah, whale fish. That's what I said.
Salmon.
Salmon whale.
Yeah, a salmon whale fish. Duh. So that's pretty cool. That is some very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I absolutely believe in Bigfoot. I mean, that's no secret. I've talked about that all the time on my show. Derek, what about you, man? What's your history and your beliefs on the big hairy man of the woods?
Honestly, like I King and I would always have these discussions while watching all the Bigfoot shows. It's like, yeah, there could be something out there, and like hearing that and then driving through the vast expanse of forest in Washington, I'm like, there has to be something here. I mean, like, there's so many acres of unexplored land that are just treed, heavily treed, that you'd be dumb to think that
we're alone.
Yeah. Have you ever flew over that area of the country?
I mean, we're not.
Yes, I have.
There's nothing out there. It's nuts.
Yeah.
I flew from Pax River, Maryland out to Point Magoo, California one time. Actually, like four or five times, but one time I actually was awake for the entire thing. And as soon as we passed over the Mississippi, it gets very, very sparse. And then, of course, once you get into the Rockies, it is just insane. I mean, you can look down there and be like, I think that's a road. It could be a road, but it's too short. It's like a river, maybe a creek. I don't know. But there's no like established towns or anything out there, man. It's just nothing. I mean, every once in a while, you'll see like breaks in like electrical wires, you know, like the breaks in the forest where the electrical wires will cut through. You'll see those every once in a while more than you'll see any roads or towns or anything. It's just absolutely nuts how much space there is out there. And I think people just kind of get lost in the idea that the United States is just completely packed full and there's no room for a Bigfoot. And it's just completely wrong.
That's one thing that from my experience, a lot of people don't understand how much land is not being used. Mm-hmm. There's nobody there. There's nothing going on. We haven't even crossed this portion of the land, right? Like, and I've a lot of people forget about that. So they're like, oh, there's no way we haven't found a Bigfoot. Oh, absolutely, there is.
I mean, there's hundreds and thousands of species of animals that are probably still hiding. Who knows if they're still the ones that they found unextinct animals?
Yeah,
that are not unextinct, extinct animals, not unextinct, sorry, but you know what I mean, like they find all this stuff and it's like we have so much land that has not been even touched all across the world, so it's like who knows what the hell is out there. It's just like the universe, and I'm gonna go into a rabbit hole, so I'm not even gonna go.
That's the point of the show. You gotta do what you gotta do. That's what we do here.
No, I'm just saying. I am terrified of the ocean because I've watched too many Lake Placid. You do not get up on the table.
And, Lake Placid, nice.
But I want to know what's under the ocean. I have to know. Like before I die, I want to know, do we have a megalodon just hanging out down there? Like, do we? I want to know. I want to know what's in outer space. Like, I want to know all this stuff, but
space is fake.
Yeah.
Man, we did it.
the one time and Jeff's not here.
my most fascination is like I want to know what's underneath the depths of the ocean. Like I have a, I don't know. I want to know.
You're not alone.
Yeah,
on
we found
that
it down
one.
There. It sucks, but it's like I have to know. What do we have down there? Like what? I don't know. I have a thing about it, and
I'm with
we
you.
Get
it's okay.
Confrontations all the time about it.
Jake, what was the name of the episode that we did with Yammy? What was the name of that? What
the bloop? Julia sounds.
I was going to say, was that Julia not the bloops?
Yeah.
Have you heard that yet, Katie?
No, I haven't.
That, I mean, if you're into the ocean stuff, that is an awesome episode. I got to see if that episode's like live, because if not, I'll turn it live right now for you.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. The bloop and Julia sounds. We did it with a woman named Yammy from another podcast.
Okay. You'd like it. It's a good episode. I loved that episode, and I'm with you on the ocean thing. I totally agree. We got to stop focusing on space and start focusing on the water.
We already know we have aliens. Okay, they've already announced that crap. So it's like, let's, dive a little deeper into where we live and figure out what's down there. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know.
And I feel you on the Bigfoot thing and being a Christian. I'm a Christian guy. I think that Bigfoot exists. It's less of a belief for me, more as like, if someone were to say, do you think that there could be a different species of wolf that we haven't discovered yet? I'd be like, yeah, probably. Like, it's just an animal. I don't go into the whole mind speak thing, or they're teleporting, or they're turning translucent when people see them, any of that sort of stuff. It's just like, all right, we know that Gigantopithecus existed in China, right? At some point, and it's just like, when everyone was spreading out, they followed land bridges and stuff during the Ice Age. Okay, cool. And then, why couldn't that have come over here too? It's just not a big deal to me. I'm just like, yeah, probably. And, honestly, I was kind of in this point for me when I was just like hearing Jeremy was talking about his Bigfoot experience. He did a couple times on the show. And then I went up, did that, did that camping trip in Dinky Creek, California. And that kind of sealed the deal for me. I found the footprint. I heard the tree knocks. I heard the yelling. All this sort of stuff. Everyone that I was with that was, some of them were really big into Bigfoot and stuff. I mean, they couldn't shut up about it. It was just like, that kind of sealed it for me. And it's just like, all right, well, the next step is to, actually see one, which according to Jeremy is, depending on in what location and what activity they're involved in, it could be pretty horrifying. But, it's like, it's not a big deal for me. It has no impact on my faith. It's just like, wow, God made another interesting animal. Like, okay, cool. Sounds good to me, It's like it has nothing to do with that at all. But it's just like,
are you sure God created it and not some scientific experiment with the government?
I would say because of the Native American lore that's most likely not accurate. Yeah. Because it goes back to
I'm just saying.
Now, is there something out there that the government created? Now, definitely could be. I mean, you look at the Bishopville lizard man. Down in the Carolinas, that could definitely be some kind of government experiment going wrong. The Beast of Busco, which is out in Indiana, which is a gigantic fucking turtle.
I was going to say, that's the giant turtle, isn't it?
Yeah, that thing's fucking huge. And I mean, that could be something where it's like a radiation issue or something along those lines. Or it could, be a one-off of some kind of weird saltwater tortoise that got stuck in a freshwater pond. I don't know. There's definitely some of them out there that could definitely be some kind of weird government experiment. I'm on the side with Jake here. I don't think Bigfoot is. I just think that there's too many stories coming from. They're just too old for it to be that case. But if you talk about the Gugwe is an absolute savage of a Bigfoot. This is the most dangerous type of Bigfoot that you can get here in the United States. If you're interested in some of the scarier stories
about
Bigfoot,
looks like a
baboon / dogman thing. Yeah. It's absolutely vicious. That could be something gone wrong. I don't know. But the typical Patty style Bigfoot, I would say that's just another animal.
Here's my question. Do you think that since we know, we all know there's a Bigfoot, do you think that there could be, they're intertwining with each, especially each region is going to have some different, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because of where we live and all that sort of stuff. Because there'd be they're mixing with each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, regional differences and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Too explicit. Are they mating with each other from other species? Like one finds one here, one finds one here. They mate and then they create a super Bigfoot.
Oh yeah.
Could that be happening? Like, do you think that they migrate and do different things?
Oh yeah, hybridization definitely could be a thing for sure. I definitely am on board with hybridization. I mean, if you look back to I know Jake feels a little bit different about this, but you go by what science tells you. They tell you that the Cro-Magnon and the Neanderthal made it in, and eventually one died off and one created the modern human being that we are today. So yes, I absolutely do believe that that can happen. I mean, you get the same thing with coyotes and dogs and wolves and coyotes. It happens, right? You can't stop that kind of stuff. These are wild creatures, wild beings that, you know, I mean, shoot, if something looks good, you might as well fuck it, right?
I mean, I was gonna say, just from a more simple perspective, I mean, you know, horses and donkeys, we get mules, lions and tigers, apparently there's ligers, you know. It's just like, if it's in the same species, there's really no reason why it couldn't interbreed, and I don't see why it wouldn't.
Excuse my language, sorry, I didn't mean to be just, but it's
I'm married to a Marine, dude. I'm worried about language.
True. Yeah. I try to be respectful.
Just saying.
So we only have another 6 minutes of recording time left on this. They limit your recording time on Zoom. So we'll talk for like another 5 minutes, and then we'll cut out and we'll get joined back in, and we'll do another recording to continue. Is that okay with you guys?
Yeah, that's fine.
Cool. All right. So just so we can kind of get this in before time cuts out, is there anything that you guys do believe within the world of cryptozoology? So I'm talking about creatures, not aliens, not ghosts or anything like that. I'm more interested about physical creatures of the woods, of the lakes, the rivers, the ponds, the oceans, the hills, the everything. Physical flesh and blood creatures. Do you guys believe in anything that that we haven't discovered, since we're already kind of on that topic? Say things, Derek.
Thoughts are hard to believe. We all know.
I haven't had my crayons for today, so I'm a little less.
We'll send you some.
I'm not gonna lie. I was this close to bringing crayons to this topic. I was gonna bring them too.
Green's my favorite flavor.
It's branch hate. It's all love too.
It's all love. All love.
Listening to the episode that you guys did with Kenzar, when she was when she emailed you first, you guys talked about the Wendigo.
Yeah.
I dove deep, and I don't know what it was, but I was enamored. Just, I don't know. I think honestly the Wendigo is just like crazy, because it's a cannibalistic person. Mm-hmm. Deer thing that just it's nuts.
Yeah.
Not deer?
No, something not deer.
Nope, not deer is a little different. That's not a deer. Exactly.
I heard it was called a 3-year-old drawing rendering of a deer.
Yeah, no, the not deer is interesting. Eventually, you know, we'll cover something like that. The not deer. Oh yeah, the not deer. It's
like NOT.
Yeah, it's literally. Yeah.
Have you not heard of these things, Jake? Yeah.
Jake is taking baby steps into the world of cryptozoology right now.
Yeah, you very shut your interesting. Face. I just haven't brought it up.
I don't know much about them, but what I do know is they are a very interesting thing.
Anyways, that was actually Kenzar's choice, you know, coming onto the show for the first time as a guest. She was the first one to reach out to us via email and just kind of talk to us a little bit about our show and explain how much she appreciated it. So it was like, fuck it, let's have this person on and let them choose what to talk about. Kid, take it from there.
Yeah, I just wanted to email the guys and be like, hey, you guys are doing a great job. Like, keep up the good work. I don't have a cool story or anything for you, but I'll happily be your first fan email. Yeah. And
have her come on to boost our egos.
Yeah.
Tell us how great we are in front of everybody.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And then Jeremy was like, what do you want to talk about? I'm like, I don't know. Let's talk about something from Canada, I guess. And he gave me a list of stuff, and I went for the Wendigo, and the rest is history.
Right on. What about you, Katie?
You know, I honestly believe there's a bunch of lake monsters. Especially depending on how deep the lake is.
Bet.
I don't care if it's Loch Ness. I know Loch Ness is a whole thing, but we have a lake that has a submarine base right up from us, and it's mm-hmm. like, what the hell are they up here for when it's one of the deepest lakes in Idaho? Like,
well, there's a theory that the Pendere Lake connects to the Pacific Ocean via a cave
but they still system. Haven't found it yet, have they?
You don't know that? And they use it during World War II.
Well, that's where the Godzilla eggs are housed.
I honestly believe that we have like lake monsters. Like, I'm not going to say that they're Loch Ness or. Well, I mean, they have to be. I mean, like I said, especially with the depths of the ocean, I believe there's a giant dinosaur megalodon just hanging out at the bottom of the ocean, just waiting for things to open up and fish come up. There's something down there that doesn't want us to find it. I have a thing with the ocean.
There definitely could be some stuff down at the bottom of the ocean. There definitely could be some stuff down there. I'm not going to argue with that. That's an uphill battle for me.
Yeah, you definitely got to hear that bloop and Julia sounds thing. We talk about some like black spot that was captured on a satellite that was, it's like the size of an aircraft carrier underneath the water. It's freaking nuts. Yeah.
It was a great episode. I liked that episode.
Thanks.
Megalodon, I tell you.
All right, probably, well, we have 1 minute left here, so we're gonna go ahead and shut down and move on over to the next recording. Anybody listening to this, sorry for the break, but we gotta do what we gotta do. All right,
it'll be taken care of in editing. Who cares?
Yeah, quick,
ask the question
this
again.
Meeting is being
All right, so we had to shut down and restart a little bit because we're recording on Zoom right now instead of our typical platform. So Zoom only gives us about 40 minutes of recording before we have to shut down and restart. We were just having a conversation as we were waiting for Jake to come back from, you know, using the little girl's room. Katie asked a question because we were talking about Bigfoot and the sounds that were in the video that they sent us. And she asked the question, isn't it a thing that Bigfoot is known to mimic sounds of other creatures? And it's true. It is absolutely true. This is something that that has been a theory. You know, I would say theory because one of my really good friends, Jeffrey Fernandez, who is also a host of this podcast, will say without a specimen actually captured, we can't prove it, which is true, right? But there has been a lot of research into the topic and a lot of researchers that have found that Bigfoot use a lot of bird calls, a lot of whistles, a lot of clicks, a lot of slapping on trees. And then, yes, there has been some recordings of just like this really weird howl that sounds like it's trying to mimic a coyote, or a lot of diurnal bird calls at night, right? Where it's just like, why are we hearing this specific bird call at night? And a lot of nocturnal bird calls like owl hoots during the day. And not necessarily on point. You're like, wow, that's either a really sick bird, or, you know, that's just a one-off time where this thing has a cold and now it's hooting in the middle of the day. Or it's Bigfoot trying to mimic and do its thing. You know, we've gone into a couple times here on the show about how Bigfoot have these communities that they surround, right? You have the females and the children in the middle, and then you have these stationary kind of big burly males out standing guard. I mean, if anybody that served in the military knows about standing watch or guard.
Ugh, don't even say that ever again.
Watch.
Oh, yeah. How dare you.
I'm balls to eight, you. Jake.
No. No. No.
And how they'll communicate with different kinds of animal calls. So, yes. You know, so that's something that, you know, I'd like to see if maybe you guys can kind of catch on to while you're out there. You know, if you're getting those kind of screams, you're going to be getting something's going through there. I'd be interested to see if around the same time frame of the year they're around there, because you know, there's a lot of
I didn't even think about that.
I mean, we've been up here for 3 years, and it's like, especially like right now, we can't set fire pits. We have like 90 feet of snow outside, but it's mm-hmm. like with summertime, and that's when we sit by the fire pits, and normally winter doesn't hit till November-ish.
First snowfall is usually December.
Depending.
Yeah, I would.
That would be interesting to see. Maybe that's the path of the
future.
Yeah. Have to come sit here at 9 o'clock at night, and that'd be interesting. I didn't think about that.
These things have been spotted in all 49 mainland states, right? So including Alaska, every single state of the mainland, these things have been spotted on. And if you watch the progressions, you can see that there is a clear path in which they follow seasonally. You know, they head south in the winter and they head north in the summer. They like it chilly. They don't like it hot. They don't like cold. Unless you're talking about regional variants such as the swamp ape or the wood booger. Definitely pay attention.
What about the Yeti?
Well, the Yeti's that's a Himalayan creature. That is China. Asia.
Well then wouldn't they be like the Yetis? I think of a Yeti as more of the snow. Not so much like Bigfoot here, yeah, we get snow and all that sort of stuff, but especially up in Alaska, where it's 90% snow 90% of the time. Would that not
I don't think so. Up in Alaska? No. I don't think so. You got to think of bears, right? Brown bears do the exact same thing. Now you get grizzly bears up in Canada and the northern parts of Alaska and everything that are just giant freaking monsters. These things are beasts, right? And they're much bigger than the brown bears that are down here in the United States. The ones like we see here in the United States, I mean, they're scary. They're big. You know, you don't want to go near them. But you ever go see a brown bear up in Alaska or in Canada, it's like
a Kodiak.
Yeah, you're like, holy shit, that thing looks like it'd eat me through its butthole.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with the bears up here.
And you know, just
well,
like...
no, but we saw a grizzly last year when we were camping.
Yeah.
A very, very remote, one lane, scary ass drive up there. And we saw this bear, and we're on cliffs, like literally we're on cliffs, and we just see this thing come in front of the truck, and Derek's like, is that a fucking dog? I was like, no, that's a fucking bear. And its ass end was bigger than the truck. Like,
yeah.
It was fucking huge, and it just dove off the cliff, and we're like,
oh, good. Okay. I was going to say, you guys did the American thing, and it was off the cliff, right?
It was fucking huge.
Took care of itself. Got it.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I mean, if you're asking me, I'm just a desktop researcher, man. I haven't really spent a lot of time out in the woods doing it. I've done a little bit, but not much, not nearly as much as I would love to do. But from what I can study from right here with the books that I have over here in my library, and you know, the stuff I can look up online, I mean, there's a lot of sources out there. A lot of people are tracking these things. If you look at Jeff Meldrum's cast collection, you know, he tracks individuals with scars, like certain scars on their feet that show up across different state lines. Like these things move, they move. They're not stationary creatures. I mean, you think about how many times do you see a brown bear? Like, I mean, those things are very secluded, right? You don't ever see a brown bear. Like what you have is pretty rare. I mean, there's some people that, you know, live within the territory of a brown bear and they see them, you know, here and there. But think of it like this: with a population as low as it is with brown bears, right, we're seeing Bigfoot even less. So there's either a bit of intelligence, or there's a low population, or there's both, right? And these things are migratory.
With your circumstance, they are migrating with the blueberries, right?
Yes, and that's one thing that I found out, because I had my experience in the spring in northern New England, and it just happened to be that the exact same time that I was there was the same exact time that that state was going through its blueberry bloom. And you know, you get the bears and everything will come out, get the blueberries, and apparently so did the Sasquatches, so did the Bigfoots. So you know, that's something that I would be interested for you guys to kind of keep an eye out for too. No, don't only look for the time that they're heading south, you know, give or take a month from the time frame that you guys saw, but also, you know, on the other side of the coin too, pay attention in the spring. When everything's starting to bloom and everything, you start getting all those wild berries, the blackberries, raspberries, and all that other good stuff, and see if you can't hear anything, man. Be interesting.
Well, mom and dad might have some interesting things down in Wiper.
Maybe, yeah.
No, up in the mountains. We never even paid attention last time we went down there. Like
road trip.
Nice. Yeah.
My parents live 4 hours south of us in a very desolated population of maybe a couple hundred people. And they have access to thousands and thousands and thousands of forestry behind them. So you go up there, there's nothing up there but logging, somewhat logging roads, but other than that, you have no homes, you have legit nothing.
And there's tons of huckleberries and blueberries and
raspberries. Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah.
So I didn't think about that. We might have to do that this next year.
I would. If we find anything,
we'll send you guys something.
Hell yeah. I mean, I would be setting up microphones all through the woods, man.
Game trail cameras everywhere.
Game trail cameras. Yeah, I was going to say, get the tops of
trees for presents. Yeah.
Like, there'd be so many Jif bottles of peanut butter through the woods. People would think there's a fucking peanut butter addict out there. Someone coming into town just stealing peanut butter and going heading in the woods.
You would just attract my husband with that.
Here we go over there. I don't know how to describe it, babe. I smell peanut butter everywhere. Like, freaking ghillie suit hiding in the treetop.
Not a big one.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah.
Because he sits there and eats peanut butters for the full.
Yeah.
No, but they I think that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, you're good. This is the kind of conversations I love to have, guys. I love it. Derek, so when you emailed us to kind of move on to the next topic here, you said that you had some other paranormal experiences. Do you mind expanding on that?
No, I have no problem. So the one that I told you, it was this hotel that was being built on this old castle grounds in Okinawa or whatever. And the lore behind it was during the construction of the hotel, the Okinawans would have experiences. They would hear girls screaming and all this. So they pretty much, the locals were just like, I'm done. We're not going to work on this. So they shut the program. And then there was this Air Force guy that was driving down the road. He heard a girl scream come from that abandoned hotel area. And he called the local authorities. He called the MPs and everything. And he got picked up by the local authorities, brought back to the base, had his car towed to the base, and was told never to go in that area again. Mm. So when we got over there, we heard the stories from the locals that worked on the base and everything. And we're like, okay, let's go take a look at this area. So we ended up driving up there probably about like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And we had to hop a chain link fence. We were walking in. We weren't seeing anything, didn't hear anything. And then when we were in there, we heard a little girl, like a noise a little girl would make. So we're like, okay, this is really weird. A couple hours ago, I didn't hear anything else after that. So we're like, okay, let's head back. Let's go back to base or whatever. So as we were walking on this road, it was like a windy road. And there was a tree limb hanging over off the side of the road. I was the second to last person in line, and my buddy was behind me, and him and I both heard something running up behind us and then stop. He jumps on me, I turn around, and we don't see anything, but we look up the road, and at this tree branch, there's two legs standing on the opposite side, like it was just like straddling this tree branch. Mm-hmm. So we kind of sit there for a little bit, watch it, and then all of a sudden it just disappears, and then we double time it pretty much out of that whole entire little area.
Just like a military member, you hear about some crazy demonic stuff or ghost stuff up the road, and you're like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds like fun. Let's go.
So Now, I don't know much about paranormal stuff when it comes down to ghosts and spirits and everything. That's something that we lacked here on the show, that we just didn't have anybody really specializing in. So we didn't cover it very much. But from what I do know, that the island of Japan has quite a bit of some paranormal experiences. I know northern Japan has a lot more than southern Japan, like Okinawa is down in southern Japan. But when you get down up to like Okigahara, which is the suicide forest, it's about, you know, that it's, but I think that's like almost a day or 2 days worth of travel by car. You know, it's a pretty long trip from Okinawa. If you were to go straight through, I think it's about 2 day trip. When you get up there into the hills, you know, because Okigahara surrounds an old volcano, and the ground itself is actually all volcanic stone, and the trees that grow out of it, the roots can't even grab into the ground, so all the roots are kind of built on top of the lava stone that's there. And there's a bunch of tunnels, like pits that just fall down. A lot of people that just go in there just to explore it end up actually dying by falling into these giant holes. So not only do you have this whole thing about like people committing suicide there on an absolutely massive scale, but you also have people that die there accidentally just by trying to do some research in the forest.
Falling into like a lava chute.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it
don't
is.
Don't they have like signs and everything everywhere that says, if you need help, please call this number. Yes. If you're exploring, be very careful where you step.
They do. And that's the kind of stuff that Japanese culture just has, you know, and it's
very superstitious as well.
Very, very superstitious. And I believe, you know, if we had CJ on still, CJ would tell you that, you know, most likely. I'm not trying to put words in the CJ's mouth or anything, but that the island of Japan, there's more tulpas there than anything. You know, a lot of people have these beliefs that there's this paranormal entity, these ghosts and spirits that live within the realm of Japanese folklore and legends and stories and mythologies, that a lot of them actually do come true due to the tulpa effect. Now I don't know anything about Okinawa. I've never been. I know a bunch of people that have been, but I wish I had more to expand on that. It's a freaking awesome story, and like Jake said, it's just like a service member to hear something that could possibly kill you and just go do it. Well, yeah, that sounds fun.
And, Okinawa. Yeah, exactly. And that's where I first had I can't remember who you had on, who had the sleep paralysis.
Derek.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
The other Derek.
Yeah. And like, that's where I had my first sleep paralysis experience. And anything before that, like when I hear stories, I don't believe that happened to me. And it was the craziest thing in the world.
Sleep paralysis is nuts, man. That's one topic I wish we visited again. Hopefully in the future we can revisit, because there's a lot of information that I didn't put out in that episode that I know now. I would love to expand on that. But yeah, man, what kind of weird shit? I mean, have you seen anything during your sleep paralysis episodes?
That was like, honestly, I only had one of them, and that was while I was over there. And, there was someone sitting on my chest, just looking at my face.
Oh, you saw the demon. Yeah.
The old hag.
Everything leading up to it. Like, so I was in a room that I was all alone in, and like the way it was weird. Like, so you walk in, you have the sink, you have a head or a door or a doorway that goes into the head that shares a door with the other bedroom. And then you walk around, and then you can like get into the actual room. So the night that happened, I had locked all my doors. I was getting ready to hit the sack. And as I was laying down, I heard my door open, but I was like, the door is locked. So I sat up, the door was still locked. And then the way it was, like, my feet kind of around a wall that was by the sink. And then I felt something grab my foot after I had checked the door and everything. I felt something grab my foot and kind of start trying to pull me down around the bed. And I was like, what the hell is going on? So I sit up again and nothing was going on. No, there was nobody in the room. My head door was locked. My front door was locked. And then I lay down again. And then all of a sudden, just I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't scream or anything. And I opened my eyes and there was something sitting on my chest. And I was screaming for the person next door to come into the bedroom, but I couldn't scream anything. And then all of a sudden I broke out and I was able to yell. And he came banging on that head door to see what was going on. And it was nuts how it went on.
You were sleeping on your back?
I was sleeping on my back.
Yeah. Oh man. So there's like three or four common experiences when it comes to sleep paralysis. Just to put a little bit of information out there for those that are listening. If you haven't listened to the old sleep paralysis episode that we did, one of the most common experiences is the old hag. And that is, that's what you experience. You know, you feel that pressure on your chest and all of a sudden you look and there's this black, almost hazy looking thing sitting on your chest and you could feel it. You could feel it sitting on your chest. And it's called the old hag. It goes by other names in other cultures. But if anybody out there wants to do more research onto it, that's what you want to look at. You want to look at the old hag phenomenon. Very, very cool.
So is sleep paralysis more or less like, is it an outer body experience?
No, sleep paralysis is a completely inner body experience. There is a lot of outer body experiences that you can have during sleep, such as astral projection or a kind of a mixture of the two, which is lucid dreaming. You can
That's what I do.
Technically, you're still inner body, but you can go anywhere within your dream world. Now, sleep paralysis is completely internal. Sometimes one of the experiences from sleep paralysis, you kind of feel like you're floating and you're floating up towards your ceiling. That's as far out of a body experience that you get from sleep paralysis. But there are plenty, a lot more than what I just explained when it comes to out of body experiences while you're sleeping too. So that is just.
I was getting the kid ready for a shower. But anyway, so I've had two weird experiences in my life where I don't know if it was I was in like super deep REM sleep. And one was in a car and I fell asleep so hard to where I remember me seeing my mom, because this was when I was little and not driving. She was banging on the window because we went to McDonald's to get food when we were on vacation. She was banging on the window so hard and I was trying to say something, like scream and yell, like I couldn't open the door. And then all of a sudden I get this and I wake up. And that happened pretty much twice. The second time it happened, I saw myself having a seizure on my bed or my floor, whichever one it was. And then something woke me up. I don't know exactly what woke me up, but something woke me up, which was weird. And that was the only two times I've ever had that.
The seizure one is a common experience. That is definitely a very common out-of-body experience that a lot of people experience during seizures. I mean, it's not as common as like, you know, 1 out of 10. I'd say more of 1 out of 50, 1 out of 100 people who experience seizures.
But I've never had a seizure before.
Yeah, it's strange, and I've never
had one.
Yeah, you never had a seizure? You just experienced like
it's weird. It is the weirdest thing. I watched myself have a seizure, and I've never had a seizure in my life.
Wow,
it's all right. I see myself like, dreaming in third person all the time. It just trips you out for a bit.
That's crazy. Is that a third?
we have a farm in here. Sorry.
No, you're good. I got one too. I'm sorry, what was your question?
So like I literally saw myself have a seizure. I know.
Okay. I do apologize.
I was I think 18 at the time.
So I just want to say I apologize. We're getting like every third word you're saying. So it's kind of, it's a little difficult to make out what you're trying to ask. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude or anything. We're about 8 minutes away from it kicking us off now. I'm gonna go ahead and in about 5 minutes start closing this out. Is there anything that you guys would like to talk about, ask, or anything along those lines? Jake, Kenzar, you guys too. I know I've talked a lot during this recording here, so I want to make sure you guys all get a chance to.
I just want to quickly say that was a really, really cool video. It gave me chills. I had to show my roommate, and it gave him chills. Thank you for sending that video in. It was super, super cool to listen to, and I'm gonna probably go listen to it like 20 more times after this.
Just spread it around. I mean,
it's nice to have other people who understand what we went through, like, and what we experienced. Like, it's nice to have people that are not gonna be like, oh, well, that's just somebody make a call up or whatever. It's nice to have people that believe what we believe in.
Yeah,
that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like,
that was the original concept of the show. Yeah.
That group of people.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and that's the original video. Like we never edited it. We never did anything. But that's what we recorded, and that's what we've had on our phones for 2 years.
That's so cool.
I think that it's so unique because we've had people come on that have had these sorts of strange experiences and stuff like that. But you're the first ones that have hit us up with a, you know, something we could actually listen to and just be like, this is what we experienced, right? And yeah, I mean, told you right away, it was exactly what I experienced when I was camping. I didn't know how to really explain it and stuff. When I heard that, I was like, this is what I heard, you know? And yeah, I mean, you guys totally told it. I'm glad that we were able to get you on, even with the spotty signal and all that stuff, getting you on, chatting about it and stuff. It's been a really cool episode, and I appreciate you guys hanging out with us.
Hey, we appreciate it. It's been fun.
We appreciate you guys having us on, and thank you, Jeremy, for replying back to me. I honestly never thought I'd hear back from you.
It's okay, because I didn't think I'd get a response either. I totally understand.
We're just little guys, man. We're real people, man. You know, yeah. We put it out on episodes all the time. Reach out to us. And we just don't get it. You know, we don't get people that want to, that come on the show and talk with us, or, you know, we don't get people that randomly email us with some cool stuff. I mean, I do get some random, and let me tell you, some really random stuff. But mostly it's like government secrets and stuff like that. And it's like, dude, I just, you know,
there's
I can't.
A picture of a Walmart where they're hiding all the aliens. It's like, ooh, yes.
some top secret U.S. Government experiment that's happening in Canada with cloaking devices for Humvees. It's like,
man, yeah. Crazy.
Oh,
it's like,
boy.
Oh, man.
It's all like, right. Well, good luck out there.
We appreciate it. It's been fun. We talk about a lot of stuff all the time, but it's nice being able to talk to other people that understand where we're coming from. Yeah, we're Christian believers and all that, but at the same time, we're not alone in this world. There's other stuff that's out there that we cannot explain, and it's fun having the conversations and talk about it.
Sure, yeah.
Absolutely.
100% agree with you. Couldn't say you know? It better myself.
It's just fun. I mean,
no, Derek, thanks for reaching out, man. Like, it really means a lot. And it's something that Jake and I originally wanted to do with the show. Like, this show was not supposed to be what it is. The original concept was to talk about monsters and eventually completely fade away from talking about stuff that we research and go strictly to interviews with people who have had experiences just like you guys. That's what we wanted to do, and Infinite Rabbit Hole has just become a completely different monster. You know, thank you so much, because this right here, this interview, it's got me motivated, man. I'll tell you, I love it. I just do. But yeah, is there anything else that you guys want to say?
He's a motivator, I'll tell you that much.
Oh no, I get it. I mean, he's a Marine. what do you guys call us?
So anyways, all we have to say is when we go camping this year and we find a bunch more shit, we're sending it to you.
Hell yeah.
How about that?
And we'll have you back on.
If you guys are ever up in our neck of the woods, hit us up and we'll take you camping and go out like the deep woods.
Hell yeah. Like I said, you know, the wife and I are looking at
yourself
at that one place. I don't want to say what it is because I don't want people to know where you're from. Other than just saying that you're from the great state of Idaho. I, you know, eventually the wife and I are going to make it out there. I'll make it out there with my Katie and, you know, my entire clan that I have, you know, right in this house. Yeah, I'll definitely hit you guys up if I ever do make it out there. I'll tell you for sure.
We'll just keep in touch. Like, we love listening to your podcast. I've loved everything about your podcast. Like, it's just so interesting. I love it. I love listening about everything. It's just fun for me. It gets me back into that whole realm of what the fuck is out there.
Good.
Good.
Like, literally, I love it.
That's awesome. That's really awesome to hear because we've been having
love it. I love you guys.
We've been having a lot of really negative reviews lately, and this is good.
Fuck them.
Awesome to hear.
I appreciate it, guys.
No, I love it because I love all the weird, crazy. Like I said, I grew up with that. That's what I grew up trying, knowing what's what and who's what. And yeah, I have my beliefs and stuff, but there's still shit out there that.
I'm in luck.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Gosh, I agree. So, I couldn't agree more. All right, Derek, Katie, so, it has been absolutely fantastic having you guys on. I can't wait to hear back from you guys. Hang tight. I'm going to shoot you guys an email real quick after this. I'll leave the contents just between us. I just want to say thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story, sharing your video. You guys are a part of the group, right, on Facebook?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. I hope that you guys stay active. You know, I would love to hear more from you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having us, and I really appreciate it. It's nice to meet you all.
Nice to meet you
too. All right, guys. That's been another episode of the Infinite Rabbit Hole Podcast. We'll see you next time on the next path of the Infinite Rabbit Hole. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
You guys have to say bye.
You have to. It's the law.
Oh, bye.